Tonight we're going to deal with the first aspect of the soul, the emotions. The emotions are that aspect of our soul. Excuse me, I'm going to shut this door real quick. The soul with the emotions is considered the biggest part of our soul, but it's not the most developed, but it is the most influential. Our emotions are the most influential aspect of our soul. Our emotions are God-given. How I know that? God has emotions. God shows emotions. And so if God has and shows emotions, then it's okay for us to have and show emotions. So we see here in John 11 chapter, we don't have to read it specifically, we know the story with Bible students, that Jesus, when he heard about Lazarus, he wept. But his weeping wasn't a weeping as without hope. His weeping was a compassion that he felt for Martha and Mary. And in that compassion, the love of God moved and caused a man to be raised from the dead. So our emotions are necessary. I say it this way. Your emotions or your feelings, if you allow me to say, is the fuel of your faith. Don't nobody, in other words, you're not going to do nothing you're not emotional about. You're not going to do anything you don't feel. See, I'm not moved by how I feel, but you ain't going to move without your feelings. Does that make sense?
Yes.
All right, let's say it this way. You've heard me make this statement before, and this is a perfect time to say it again. Your environment creates your thoughts. Your thoughts create your feelings. Your feelings causes you to act. And your actions, listen to me, and your actions bring certain results. Your thoughts produce your feelings. Your feelings is what causes you to act. Your emotions is what causes you to act. Let somebody cuss you out on the road. You driving. You're going to road rage. So it was the emotion that caused you to do something.
Right.
So your emotions, see, God knew this. Your emotion, it was causes you to do something. It causes you to do something or not to do something. The problem is when your emotions are controlling what you do and what you don't do. They're not supposed to control. It's just supposed to fuel your actions. But a lot of times, if we don't have our emotions in check, it begins to control what we do and what we don't do. How many see this? Emotions are not bad at all. And Jesus had an emotion in the temple.
Yes, sir.
He got angry. He didn't get out of control. He simply made him a whip and whipped everybody out the house that wasn't doing what God wanted to do. You're not going to make this a den of thieves. This is a house of prayer.
Right.
Emotions fueled Jesus to do that. You must hate sin. Hate produces an emotion. If you don't have that emotion, you become complacent with sin. Our emotions, when controlled, helps us, fuels us, energizes us to do what God is asking us to do. We just got to learn how to control them. If your emotions, because of your human nature, and because your mind is not saved, how many know that? Your mind is not saved. Your body is not saved. Because your mind is not saved, listen to that, internet, because it's not saved, sometimes your emotions will try to take its own course of action. You wake up some mornings, you feel good. Some mornings you wake up, you feel bad. Somebody tell you something different, you feel a certain way. Or if something happens in your life, you feel another way. And so your emotions have you on this roller coaster. Emotions have you going up and down, up and down. Do you know you have the ability to control your emotions, that when something bad happens, you could become joyous? You control that. The situation does not control that. Why? Because your thoughts produce your feelings. Your thoughts produce how you feel. Your thoughts produce emotions. So if I want to change how I feel, I have to change what I'm thinking. Is this making sense? This is why we have to gain control of our emotions, because if we don't, something is going to control our emotions. If we don't control them, something will. So we want to be in control of our emotions. Do you know the entertainment industry controls our emotions more than anything else? Yeah, it controls our emotions more than anything else. Do you know what the original purpose of entertainment? The original meaning of entertain means to occupy the mind. That's what entertain means, to capture a thought, to capture a mindset. The reason why they would have, in the Greek day, they would have theater. They would have different plays, Shakespeare and all these different things, was to entertain. Why did they want to be entertained? So they can take their minds off of their problems and bring it to a fantasy world. Therefore, their emotions are being controlled. This is why people pay so much money to be entertained. People pay boo gobs of money to be going to concerts, going to the movies. We pay $150, $200 a month for 300 some stations that we only watch three of them.
Yeah, that's correct.
They got over 200 some stations on cable or Dish or DirecTV or Cox or Time Warner, whatever you have, E-Tel, whatever you may have, and you're only watching three or four of the stations. Why? Because we have an insatiable appetite to be entertained. Why? Because when somebody else is talking to me and somebody else is thinking for me, they control my emotions. Are you seeing this? So why is it we go to a movie and we cry in a movie? I mean, just think about it. It's funny, but think about it. Think about it. We cry in a movie. First of all, they're acting. It's not real. It's funny, but that, I mean, let me say, nothing wrong with it. But I just want you to see and understand how your emotions can be controlled. How you can go into a movie that's a comedy and you're tickled beyond, you can't catch your breath, you're laughing so hard. What has happened? You're being entertained. Your emotions are being controlled. Are you seeing this? So watch this. Here's my point presented. If somebody else can control your emotions, that means you can control your emotions. And one of the tricks of the enemy is he tries to do things to control your emotions. Because if he controls your emotions, he can cause you to act. If he can send the right person to tell you the right thing and know you're going to fly off the handle, guess what? He's sending that person to you. Because then he knows he has you controlled. Because you can't control your emotions. See, emotions can be used in a positive way, but they also could be used in a negative way. People use emotions to get self-pity from you. People use emotions to evoke anger out of you. People will use emotions to manipulate you. So if you don't have control of your emotions, you're going to get played. The emotions, it was causes us to act, your feelings. This is why as Rebecca put wool on Jacob's arms when he went to see Isaac. Because Isaac looking for Esau. Esau was hairy. But Rebecca put that wool on Jacob when he went bring that meat so he could feel. Because he couldn't see, so he'd gone by what he felt. Are you seeing this?
Yes, sir.
So our emotions, how we feel, how we react to things is based on our emotions. So here, James 1. James 1, verse 2. James is talking to us. James say, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into different temptations. Watch verse 3 says, what? Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. The word right there I want you to focus on is knowing. We can count it all joy. Joy is an emotion. We can count it all joy. What? Knowing. Thoughts produce how you feel. How you feel causes you to act. So this is why we have to renew our minds with the Word of God, because I have to know that this is just a trying of my faith. So I need to stay in joy. Other words, I'm not going to start complaining. Why me? Feeling sorry for myself. Trying to get pity from somebody. Automatically, I need to count this, count it all joy. That is an emotion. That comes from a thought. What thought? Knowing this. No matter what happens, I know this. That this test is just trying my faith. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Apostle Thompson just gave us another definition of faith that I never heard in my life. Properly responding. Faith is properly responding to the voice of God. So here it is. Watch this. I need to count it all joy when I fall into different temptations, knowing this, that the trying of my proper response to God's voice, this is only testing that, if I'm going to trust my proper response.
My God.
I properly responded. I'm properly responding. So this is just the test to see if I'm going to trust that proper response. So I know this. I know that this is a test of my proper response. So because of this, I can count it all joy. Mm-hmm. Romans 8, 28. Romans 8, 28, what it says?
And we know.
And we what?
And we know.
And we what?
And we know.
And we know. This is what I'm thinking. This is a thought for me. And we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God. All things work together. That means all things includes everything.
Right.
So whether it's bad things all good things, they're all working. I know this.
Right, right.
This is a thought. I know that all things work together for the good for them that love God and are called according to his purpose. I know this. So because I know this, I have a right to control my emotions and let myself know this is working for my good. Doesn't matter how I look on the outside. This is working out for my good. This is something you have to tell yourself. You have to tell yourself. This is the purpose of confession. See, we blew confession out of its proper perspective. Confession does not make God do anything. Based on what we've been learning from Apostle about grace, God has already done everything he's going to do. So therefore, if God has already done everything he's going to do, then I have to properly respond. That's what faith is. Properly respond to the voice of God. All right, let's make it simple. Make it simple. Romans 10. About to make faith and grace very simple for you. 1 Timothy 2:15. Study showed thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, right? So whenever you see a definition or you hear definition, you need to be working at definition in your scriptures that you memorized. That's how understanding revelation begins. When you hear a definition, for instance, the definition of faith, properly responding to God's voice, grace, God divinely influencing, has God's divine influence on my heart, right? You see those things. So here it is, you begin to apply those things. So now, in Ephesians 2:8, it says we're saved by grace through faith, right? By grace are you saved through faith. That's what Ephesians 2:8 says. So by God divinely influencing my heart, I'm saved through my proper response to his voice.
Come on.
So watch this. So when Jesus died on the cross, he said, it is finished. That means everything has been done. There's nothing else to be done. It is finished. So that means every answer, every solution to every dilemma that we're facing, it already exists.
Right.
All right. Let's make it simple. Romans 10. Y'all there?
Yes, sir.
Verse 8. Read it to me. 1, 2, 3, read. All right, word of faith, which we preach. The word of properly responding. So anything preached to us should be teaching us how to properly respond to God's voice.
Amen.
Right? All right, keep reading. That God raised Jesus from the dead, thou shalt be saved. What's the next verse? Heart.
Salvation.
Right? Y'all see this? Here's the question I want to ask you. This is about to be very simple for you. Understanding how faith works, very simple. This is not rocket science. If it's rocket science, I wouldn't be making it. You understand? Because it can't be, it got to be simple for me. Here's the question I want to ask you. And this is, every dilemma that you're facing, I'm still talking about your thoughts, talking about your emotions. Every dilemma that you face, watch it now. Every dilemma that you face already has an answer for it. How I know this? It is finished. That's what he said. It is finished. So if it's finished, if it was finished back then, that means it's finished now. Mm-hmm. Right? Here's the question I want to ask you. Did salvation exist before you accepted it? It's not a trick question.
No.
Well, think about it. Hold on, think about it. Think about it. Did it exist?
Mm-hmm.
Here's why. John 3:16. For God so loved the world. Now, it didn't exist for you.
Right.
But salvation existed. So how did you make it a realization for you? What did you have to do? How did you accept it? So if I didn't properly respond,
come on.
Salvation was there.
Right.
It is finished.
Yeah.
Salvation was there.
Right.
But I couldn't realize it until I properly responded to the voice of God. Now, watch this. How could I properly respond to the voice of God? Because of grace. Because God divinely influenced my heart. So because he divinely influenced my heart, then I was able to properly respond to his voice, which gave me salvation. Whatever problem you're dealing with, see, knowing this, that the trying of your faith working patience. Other words, the answer already exists for all of our problems. Every mountain that we're facing, every brick wall that we're facing, every dilemma that we're facing, it already exists. But I must properly respond. I cannot properly respond if my emotions are not in check. Because what? My feelings or my emotions fuels my actions. So without me having the word of God planted in my heart, planted in my mind, my emotions will become unchecked. Emotions without God's or the word of God's influence will always be a bad decision maker. Always. Because your emotions is what causes you to act. So if your emotions are not being checked by the word of God, it will cause you to act and not properly respond. Mm-hmm. Prime example. Moses. Those people made Moses so frustrated that when God told him, speak to the rock, he struck the rock.
Right.
He did not properly respond.
Wow.
Now, because he didn't properly respond, God said, Moses, I can't let you enter into the promised land.
Wow.
Because his emotions got the best of him. So he wasn't able to properly respond or have the right action. So God said, watch this. Did the promised land already exist?
Yeah.
He had been talking to him about the promised land. I'm taking to a land flowing with milk and honey. But because Moses didn't properly respond, why he didn't properly respond? Because the people got under his skin.
Wow.
His emotions. He was so frustrated and mad at the people that instead of him speaking to the rock, he struck the rock. He couldn't properly respond. He couldn't have the proper action. He couldn't properly respond to the voice of God. Are y'all seeing me?
Yes, sir.
God told him, speak to the rock. Now, mind you, first time he struck it.
Yes.
This is the second time. Second time, God told him, now I need you to speak to the rock. God was very methodical in what he was doing because he was trying to make a transition for the people of Israel. It ain't all about what you do. It's about what I do. It's not based on your effort. It's based on what I did.
Right.
First thing, they thought it was Moses striking a rock.
Right.
But this time, Moses wasn't supposed to do nothing but speak to the rock. So God was trying to shift them from understanding. It's not based on what you do for me. It's what I've done. But Moses didn't follow those instructions because the people got under his skin. So he didn't properly respond. So God said, I can't let you go into the promised land. The promised land existed. It was there for him. But because he didn't properly respond, because he let his emotions get out of control. Are y'all seeing this? We have to learn how to keep our emotions in check. Watch this. How we do that? We have to control our emotions. How do we do that? We do it by checking and disbelieving every emotion we have. Don't trust none of your emotions. Always check them first. Where is this emotion coming from? Why I feel this way? Should I be feeling this way? If I shouldn't be feeling this way, what's causing me to feel this way? You checking all emotions. Now remember now, your emotions is a part of your soul. So your soul is made up of thoughts. So if I have to check how I'm feeling, that really means I got to check what I'm thinking. Mm-hmm. Why I feel this way? Why I feel this way when this person comes around? Why I feel this way when this situation arises? Why? Am I really supposed to be feeling this way? Mm-hmm. Are you seeing this? Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
And if you don't have the word of God to compare it to, 2 Corinthians 10:5, casting down every imagination and a thought, casting down every feeling, mm-hmm. casting down every memory. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're gonna use that scripture over and over and fill in each aspect of the mind. Mm-hmm. Cast down every feeling that tried to exalt itself against the what? Knowledge. Of God. Anything that tried to exalt itself against what you know.
Come on, that's good.
I know that this is a trying of my faith. So I'm going to count it all joy. I know all things work together for my good. So there's no reason for me to get in a pity party and feel bad for myself.
Right.
Is this making sense?
Yes, sir.
So we have to check all of our emotions. Why I'm feeling this way? Should I be feeling this way? Is this a good... Because see, sometimes... See... Why you got to check your emotions? Here's why you got to check your emotions. Sin feels good. Mm-hmm. And if any of y'all tell me it don't, you're lying to me. If it didn't, it would be no attraction. But it is an emotion. But it's not. That's not the correct. I should hate sin.
Right.
So I have to go back to what I know. I know I can't do this. Are you seeing this?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
See, people are governed by their emotions when their emotions are simply supposed to be fuel for their actions. If you're governed by your emotions, you will always make the wrong moves. It's just supposed to fuel what you do. You're not going to do nothing that you're not convinced about. You're not, that's really all what, you know what believe is? Believe is just simply controlling your emotions. Being convinced. So if I run into a situation which I don't know what to do and fear tries to set in, I have to take the word of God and set the record straight. That's believing. I'm in control of my emotions. The man in the 10th chapter of Mark with that son that was dumb and the devil was attacking him. And Jesus said, only if thou believe. What he said? Help my unbelief. What he was really saying was, Jesus, help me control my emotions. Jesus, help me be convinced. Because what I'm seeing on the outside, I'm not convinced. I'm feeling some other way besides how I'm supposed to be feeling.
Right.
Because of what I'm seeing.
Right.
So you know how Jesus helped his emotions? Jesus spoke to that demon and dealt with it.
Yes.
And his son calmed down.
Mm-hmm.
Are you seeing this?
Yes, sir.
See, our emotions, if we don't have them in check, It will have us running all over the map doing everything. Emotions is what got people, emotions is what got Christians jumping from meeting to meeting. Because they're emotionally driven. So if somebody say they got a healing anointing over here, they go run it over there. If somebody say they got a prophetic anointing over here, they go run it over there. If somebody say they got this type of anointing, they go run it over there. That's not how the kingdom works. Everything you need and everything God has for you is where he planted you. But emotions causes us to panic and try to go get out of the will of God looking for our answer everywhere else when the answer is right. It's there. I just got to learn how to properly respond. He said he gave some pastors, some teachers, some apostles first, some prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. In other words, they're supposed to be teaching us how to properly respond to the voice of God. If I can properly respond to the voice of God, that means all these things will be added to me. So I don't have to let my emotions take me to everywhere it don't need to be. I can get everything I need. You know, when people tell me this, and when people tell me this, it depends on who it is. If I care about them, I'm going to tell them the truth. But I figure I can't help them, I'm not saying nothing. When people tell me and tell me, well, my season is up here. My season is up in a certain place. So I pose the question. I wonder if them pecan trees out there, did they move because their season was up? Did they file a fall? Did they file a fall? Because, I mean, fall is when the leaves fall off and the pecans start hitting the tree when they produce fruit. So when fall leave, do they get up and file a fall?
That's good.
No, they stay there, planted, because it has to go through a process again because fall is coming back around.
Right.
Ah. See, people tell me that when my season's up here, okay, so where you going next? I mean, you're going, because I've never seen a tree follow a season. Right. I've never seen it. What I'm trying to say, emotions cause people to uproot themselves. When I feel like I ain't getting what I need, I uproot myself and try to replant myself. Anybody who does anything with trees knows it's the worst thing in the world to uproot a tree and try to replant it. You're not going to get the same type of fruit out of it as you did when it was originally planted. Emotions. We have to control them. They're easy to control. They're easy to control. How are they easy to control? Because your emotions come from what you're thinking. If you control your thoughts, you control your emotions. Romans 12:2, renew your mind with the word of God. It will cause you to control your thoughts. Even in panic situations, if you have the word hit in your heart, even in those situations where it's time to panic, you won't panic. You have to, watch this, when the Bible, and we're closing here, when the Bible talks about seeking the face of God, you ever really thought about what it means to seek the face of God? What it means to seek his face? What it means to seek, I'm seeking God's face? Because I know you don't be like Moses, because God told Moses, you can't handle my face. If you see my face, you know you ain't going to be able to handle all this glory. You're going to come with me. So obviously you don't want to actually see God's face. What it means, though, to see God's face? Well, here's what it means. I rarely like talking life-altering decisions with people over the phone. I don't like making major decisions with a person over the phone. The only time I make a major decision with a person over the phone is if I've had previous experience with them in person.
Right.
Why? When you're in the presence of a person, you can read their face, because your face can't hide emotions. You may be able to hide them a while, but eventually what's on the inside of you going to come out. So when it means to seek the face of God, it really means we got to seek his emotions on a situation. How does God feel about this? How does God feel about this decision? Or how does God feel about this situation? So you're actually looking for God's facial expression, or in other words, his emotions on the situation. Because when you talk to a person face to face, and you're talking to them and you're talking serious business or whatever it may be, you can read their face for their emotions. You can read their face. So that's what it means when I'm seeking the face of God, I'm looking for God's emotions. How does God feel about this? If I was to make the decision, God, how would you feel? God, if I did this, how would this make you feel? God, if I didn't do this, how would this make you feel? Now you're really concerned about God and what he wants. And you're seeking his face. You're seeking his emotions. You're seeking how he would feel. I don't want God. I don't want to disappoint you.
Right.
God. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. God, all I want to do is please you.
Right.
Am I properly responding to your voice? But without faith, it's impossible to please him. But without properly responding to God's voice, it is impossible to please him. The only way to please God is I have to properly respond to his voice. Are you seeing this? So God, I'm seeking your face. How do you feel about this? God, if I made this decision, if I make this move, God, if I do, how do you feel? God, what makes you happy? Happiness is an emotion, right?
Yes, it is.
God, God has pleasure in the prosperity of his servants. He's happy. He's overjoyed. He's elated when we prosper.
Right.
See, are you getting this?
I got you.
God, how can I make you happy, God? What? Sometimes it's not even about what you do. It's about you just being you. You just being who he created you to be. And God becomes happy. Are you seeing this? So when we seek the face of God, when we spend time with him, so we can get his feelings on our situations. Sometimes God, some things that's serious to you might not be that serious to God.
Yeah.
And the reason why it might not be serious to him, because he's been trying to tell you what to do for the past 6 months. You just haven't been properly responding.
Oh, Jesus.
Is this making sense?
Yes.
So when you're seeking his face, or when I'm seeking his face, you're actually looking for God's heart, his how he feels. What is he thinking? Obviously, sometimes we humans, we think something is wrong. God might not think so. For instance, we all like to play Jacob as a trickster. We like to dog Jacob as a trickster. But if you really go back and look at the whole scenario, Esau wasn't going to do nothing but mess everything up. How? Esau never hung around Isaac.
My God.
So if you never hang around the visionary, how are you going to carry on legacy?
My God.
That's good.
The Bible says that Jacob stayed around. Go read it. Then it said, then Rebecca remembered they were prophesied to her that the younger, the older, will serve the latter. All that was doing was tricking her mind, getting her mind right, to realize that when she started had to make these moves, when she had to start making these moves, like getting Jacob to go get that little lamb or whatever it was, Jacob putting on that coat or the fur, so Isaac can get the smell of Esau on, her emotions wouldn't play with her. Why? Because she know what she was prophesied. And we know
right.
that all things work together for the good For those that love God are called according to his purpose. See, she knew something, so her emotions couldn't get in the way. Because, see, obviously it wasn't wrong to God.
Right.
How you know it wasn't wrong to God? Well, God didn't stop it.
Mm.
Not only did he not stop it, but he blessed Jacob beyond measure.
Right.
I ain't never known God to bless disobedience.
My God.
God only blesses obedience.
Right.
Are you seeing this?
Yes, sir.
We have to have our emotions in check. When you're seeking God, you're saying, God, God, how do you, God, what do you think on this? God, what you feel? God, how would you, God, I don't want to disappoint you. God, what is it? What is it I need to change?
Amen.
God, I want to know your heart on this. When you do that, you now open yourself up for your emotions to be directly in line with God's emotions. When your emotions are directly in line with God's emotions, anything can happen. Any answer can show up at any time to accomplish anything. Grace, God's divine influence on our hearts. That's an emotion. God's divine influence on our heart. Conviction is an emotion. If it wasn't for conviction, you can keep sinning.
Right.
But conviction is an emotion. They say, oh man, God, I'm sorry. I disappointed you. God, forgive me. God, what must I do? Forgive me. Because conviction is God revealing to you that you just disappointed him. So what it did, it drove you to properly
respond. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Is that making sense? So if you properly use your emotions, they become fuel to do what God is asking you to do. But if your emotions is left unchecked by the word of God, it will cause you to not properly respond to his voice.
Mm-hmm.
Are y'all getting this?
Yes, sir.
I hope y'all enjoyed that.
Yes,
y'all have a good night. I'll see y'all next week.
Thank you.
Glory to God.
Yes, sir.